taken from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they cried, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "Oh, you of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, you may have heard the story about a man who gets too close to the edge of the Grand Canyon, loses his balance and slips over the edge. Just before falling 1,000 feet, he grabs onto a root sticking out from the edge. "Help," he cries. "Is there anyone out there? Help, save me. Is there anyone up there?" A voice answers, "I am the Lord. I can save you. Do you believe in me? Do you really want me to help you?" "Oh, yes, Lord. I believe in you more than you'll ever know. Please help me." "Okay," the Lord says, "I'll save you. Now let go." "What?" "Just let go of that root you're holding on to and I'll save you. You have to trust me." The man pauses a moment and then shouts out, "Is there anyone else up there?" Now, although it might be funny, there's a good deal of truth in that. Truth about that strange thing called faith. As we progress into the new year of 2023, we'll have to consider where we're placing our faith and how strong our faith really is. Although each new year brings its challenges, there's no doubt that 2023 will be a really challenging year in political field, in our church, and in our personal lives. How we react to what 2023 brings will depend on whether our faith is in the worldly things or whether our faith is in God. In our text this morning, we see an incident where this question of faith is brought sharply into focus. It raises the question of where our faith fits in during the difficult times, the times of testing, the times of storms. There are those who say, if you have faith, life will be smooth sailing. If you have faith, God will cure all your ills and guard you from every danger. If you have enough faith, you'll stay close to God. But in the account we're looking at this morning, we discover that that's not necessarily true. Just before this morning's text, we read of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Remember how the crowds had gathered to hear Jesus, and as the day wore on, Jesus tells the disciples, "Give the people something to eat." And they're flabbergasted. Their immediate response is, "But we don't have enough. All we have is 2 little fish and 5 small loaves of bread. That's not enough. We can't possibly feed this lot, Jesus." And Jesus says, "Give the food to me." They do. Jesus blesses it and tells the disciples to pass it out. To do this, everyone eats their fill, and there's even 12 baskets full left over. Now, what do you imagine the disciples thought about all that? They were right in the middle of that miracle. Maybe some in the crowd didn't realise what had happened, but the disciples were right there all the way through, they participated in the miracle. What were they thinking? Did it change them? Did it strengthen their faith? Well, it still seemed that they were slow learners. After feeding the 5,000, Jesus dismisses the crowd and sends them home. And then he told the disciples, get into the boat, cross the lake, and I'll join you later. But right now, I need to be alone for a while to pray. And that's probably not an unusual request for Jesus to make. They certainly don't appear to have questioned him or have wondered how he would get to the other side to meet them. They just set sail. And a few hours later, the disciples are caught in the middle of the lake in a violent storm. The waves are rolling, the wind's blowing, and they're getting nowhere. It takes everything they have to just try and keep the boat afloat in the wind, let alone make it across to the other side. To some extent, they're in more familiar territory than with the feeding of the 5,000. At least they're experienced fishermen who've carried out their trade on this lake for most of their lives. As such, they're used to the storms that blow up suddenly. Matthew doesn't recall that they were afraid of the storm, but no doubt they're uncomfortable. Now, just let's think for a moment. Why are they out in the middle of the lake in the first place? Well, because Jesus told them. Actually, he ordered them and commanded them to get into the boat and cross the lake. They were doing exactly what Jesus had told them to do, and by being obedient to him, discovered themselves now caught in a big storm. Do faith and obedience always mean smooth sailing in life? Apparently not. Sometimes when we follow Jesus, it leads us into a storm. But then in the small hours of the morning, before the first light, the storm is still raging, and Jesus comes walking out to them, actually walking on the water. Now we must be very clear on this. They're on the Sea of Galilee, which is about 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. They'd been on the sea for some hours, and it's now well after midnight. The disciples in their boat are a considerable distance from either shore. When Jesus comes walking on the water to them, he hasn't just stepped a few paces from the land. He's travelled quite a long way on rough and stormy water. So, we can quite understand why the disciples' reaction is fear. This is when the disciples lose their nerve. In fact, Matthew says that they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they say. But Jesus calls out, "Take heart, it's I, do not be afraid." For whatever the reason, maybe he needed proof or something, Peter blurts out, "If it's really you, Lord, command me to come out on the water with you." He probably regretted it as soon as he said it. Because Jesus answers simply, "Come. Come on, Peter." It'd be like letting go of that root that you were hanging on to for dear life. At this point, Peter is probably ready to call out, "Is there anyone else up there?" But Peter is caught. It's a do or die situation. So he cautiously puts one leg over the boat, then the other, still holding onto the boat. Then he lets go with one hand, and then the other. And there is Peter, walking on the water too. Impossible. Well, no more than feeding 5,000 would just a small boy's lunch. As Jesus had so plainly said, with God, all things are possible. Contrary to all the laws of nature, the impossible is happening. Peter is walking on the water, just like his master, and it's all because the Lord of the universe is there. The waves are still rolling, the wind is still blowing a gale, but Peter is walking towards Jesus, walking on the water. But then something happens to Peter. It's almost as if he wakes up and realizes where he is. You know, in cartoons, we often see that a character runs off the edge of a cliff, stay suspended in midair till he finally realizes what a stupid thing he just did, and down he goes. Well, here is Peter, walking on the water towards Jesus. Everything is fine, but then he takes his eyes off Jesus and begins to look around. And what he sees are big waves, driving wind, and there he is in the middle of it, unprotected, no life jacket. He becomes afraid, and he begins to sink. The name Peter means rock. Now, instead of being a solid rock of faith, he's sinking like a rock in desperation. And Peter cries out, "Lord, save me." Have you ever been there? It's a basic cry of every human being when we're confronted with that which is beyond our strength, beyond our ability, beyond our control. In the midst of our helplessness and powerlessness, we cry out, "Lord, save me." Jesus reaches out and grabs hold of Peter, pulls him up and helps him back into the boat. "Why did you doubt, Peter? Where's your faith? Didn't you believe in me?" And suddenly, the wind dies down and the waves settle. Not gradually, not abating and settling down, but suddenly. And these experienced fishermen have not seen anything like that before. They're filled with awe and amazement. Falling to their knees, they declare, "Truly, you are the Son of God." As we hear God speaking to us this morning through this familiar story, what we hear the Lord saying to Peter and the disciples is what he's saying to all of us. Life is full of adventures and encounters, accidents and experiences that remind us over and over again, if our eyes are open to see it, that God alone is God, and we are totally dependent upon him as our source of life, hope and strength. Even when we're certain that God is leading us and we're acting according to God's will, we must never dare think that, therefore, we can go it alone, relying solely upon our own resources and abilities. The disciples were only doing what Jesus had told them to do. If they'd remembered that they could have pressed onward without fear, even in the middle of the storm. Peter only did what the Lord invited him to do. He was actually doing the impossible by worldly standards. It was only when he took his eyes off Jesus and focused on the storm raging around him that he began to sink. Jesus told us, "Without me, you could do nothing, but with God, all things are possible." Now, I'm sure Peter never forgot that moment. Inevitably, there were still other times of doubt and testing in his life, and he wasn't always successful. But when he floundered, he always ended up by crying out, "Lord, save me." And the Lord was always there to reach out and save him. He always found the help and strength he needed. Life is full of adventures and encounters and accidents and experiences that remind all of us over and over again that ultimately we are completely dependent upon God for our life, our hope and our salvation. Ultimately, finally, we discover that there isn't anyone else up there, and the only choice we have is to let go and let God work his will in our lives. As a congregation of God's people, we're often faced with opportunities to let go and let God's will be done in our midst. We know that as God's people here in this church, we've received some great promises from God. Some of those promises have gone back a great number of years. For most part, we've not seen these things happen yet. And I'm sure that there have been times when we'd be tempted to wonder if we really did actually hear right. Remember the account of Abraham, the man described in the Bible as a friend of God. Look at the number of times that God made specific promises to Abraham about him being the father of nations. For For that to happen, Abraham had to be a father of at least one child. But his wife Sarah was barren, and there was no sign, no possibility of her having a child. And then, when Sarah is far too old to have a child, she becomes pregnant and gives birth to Isaac, the son of promise. Abraham had to wait many years for the fulfillment of what God had promised, and had to wait until it was totally impossible, and then he saw God move. Now we know that Abraham began to doubt. We know that Abraham began to wonder if he would ever see what God had promised. Indeed, I'm sure that he even began to wonder whether he'd heard God right in the first place. But he had heard God right, and when the time was fully come, God gave him Isaac, and from Isaac came the promised nation of Israel, and from that nation came even our us. Along with the rest of the world, we're going through times of change here in this church. The effects of the COVID pandemic were great, and to a certain extent still are. The situations in Ukraine and elsewhere has led to political, economic and social upheaval. As with all change, it can be frightening and unsettling. At such times, we again face the temptation to doubt and to falter, to focus on the storms that rage around us, instead of focusing upon Jesus, the Lord of life, the master of the winds and the waves. But do we know that Christ is calling us forth as his people, and God invites us to trust him and invites us to let go and let God? All that he asks is that we do what he's told us and trust him. For doubts and defeat are words that are not in God's vocabulary. Therefore, we meet here each week, seeking God and his direction for our lives and our church, seeking to be God's faithful people, trusting and depending upon our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, always keeping our eyes focused on the one who is the source of our life, hope and salvation. We spend our quiet times with the Lord, and I'm assured that we're open for his leading and his direction for us and our friends. But wherever we are, we must wait upon the Lord, for he is the only one with the answers. As we wait upon him, and more importantly, as we obey him, we'll find he leads us and directs us in all sorts of situations. But the thing that's paramount is that we trust him and look to him only. He doesn't promise that there'll be no storms, but he does promise that he'll be with us every step of the way, even in those storms. We just need to keep our eyes fixed firmly on him with a steadfast faith. So, make sure that each one of us sees the current situation from God's perspective. It's not a time of confusion and disappointment. It's a time of new beginnings. It's the new year of 2023. And 2023 is a new beginning for us here in this church, as God leads us into a new and exciting future. An ongoing scripture that the Lord keeps bringing back to us is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So let's hold on to that promise and boldly and confidently go forward into that future he's got for us. It's all a matter of faith. It's all a matter of where your faith is. Is your faith in the world? Is your faith in yourself? Or is your faith in the one and only Jesus and his Father? Amen. Let's finish by